This is Akashvani. In the program Money Talk, now we bring you a discussion on reforms in India's mining sector. The participants are Dinesh Mahur, Joint Secretary, Ministry of Mines, and Shishir Sinha, Economic Analyst. Moderator is Rajesh Lake, Anchor.
Over the past decade, India's mining sector has witnessed a remarkable transformation driven by a series of ambitious reforms aimed at enhancing transparency, fostering center-state collaboration, and expediting clearances. These changes, as highlighted by the Union Minister of Coal and Mines, Shri G. Kishan Reddy, are not only reshaping the industry but also positioning it as a crucial pillar in India's journey towards economic self-reliance and sustainable development. Today we are privileged to have with us Dinesh Mahur, Joint Secretary, Government of India, Ministry of Mines, and Shishir Sinha, Economic Analyst. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Dineshji, how would you characterize the evolution of India's mining sector over the last 11 years, especially in terms of transparency and efficiency?
I would like to mention that in the year 2015, the auction regime in mining sector was introduced. So that was the biggest effort by the Government of India to introduce transparency and accountability in the mining sector. Before 2015, the mining leases were given on the basis of the applications given by the project proponents, and they were allocated. There were sort of non-transparency in allocation of the mining leases that time. And many other reforms were introduced during that year. It was a transformation year in the mining sector, like National Mineral Exploration Trust was introduced to that year. Then District Mineral Foundation was introduced that year.
What were the primary challenges the sector faced before 2015, which you just mentioned, and how have reforms addressed them?
The biggest challenge was non-transparency in allocation of mineral blocks, which was overcome by introduction of the auction regime in allocation of the mineral blocks. Secondly, any development project cannot be succeed until the people affected by that active development activity is taken care of. So the biggest reform in this respect was District Mineral Foundation, which was for the mining affected areas and mining affected people for their welfare.
Shishir, the introduction of the auction regime is seen as the cornerstone of reforms. Can you elaborate on how this has changed the landscape of both public and private sector players?
See, we all know that the natural resources are scarce and we need to find some way to have the maximum revenue or maximum return out of that. So when it is not a kind of auction mechanism, when somebody is coming and it is purely on the discretion of the government and the officials or the ministry to allocate particular mine to particular industry, then the government will be on the losing side. But when you are going to the auction side, the possibility is that you will get best player to go for mining, and at the same time, not just the central government, but also the state government, which are the real owner of the land as well as the resources which are available below that land. So they are going to gain more and more into that. So on the one hand, you are getting technological advancement. You are getting district mining welfare fund. So when you are going for the rehabilitation, when you are going to provide benefit to the people who are affected by the mining. So all those process, when there is a transparency, when there is a more and more money is available, and the most important thing is that when you are going to have the better technology, the best technology in the mining operation, that is going to give you much more than what you can source from the mine. So I think this auction method is not purely a kind of what we call as the money earner kind of thing. It was also bringing a competition among the miners to provide the best technology and to get best out of whatsoever available is that.
With over 500 mineral blocks auctioned in the last decade, what impact has this had on competition, investment and sectoral growth?
If you see the investment, it is not just coming to the mining, but it is also coming in the R&D. So there are more and more focuses on the R&D. And another important area is that the startups are coming into this field. Earlier, there used to be a kind of traditional industries who are going into mining operation. Now you have the startup into that field. That means giving the technology impetus, technology input to the mining operation. So most important thing what I am feeling is that when the resources are scarce, you have to get best out of that. And that will be possible when the best players are there, when the technology is good, when the technological advancement is good, when the innovation is good. So these kind of things which are bringing more and more what we can say productive use of the resources which are scarce.
So Marji, the minister has also highlighted the importance of the center and state collaboration. Can you discuss specific initiatives or the mechanisms that are now in place and that have strengthened this partnership?
One thing, as my friend Mr. Shishil also mentioned, that minerals are the property of the state governments, but management regulation of minerals is the responsibility of the central government. So that all across the states, their policies are similar. And if we talk about the central-state relations in the mineral sector, so in 2023, the critical minerals were block of 24 minerals was described as the critical mineral, which was included as part of the MMDR Act. So subsequently, during that year, because critical minerals were very, very important for the economic development of the country and security needs, central government was empowered to auction the critical mineral blocks in the country. So central government auctions the critical mineral blocks, then hand over to the state government for further processing. So that is the efforts of, in case of other minerals, state governments are doing auctions. So this is an effort to complement the efforts of the state government.
If that be the case, then the State Mining Index and State Mineral Exploration Trust, how are they contributing towards professionalizing state mining departments?
State Mining Index is an effort by the Ministry of Mines to rank the state for the readiness of the mining sector reforms. And the State Mineral Exploration Trust is on the same pattern as the National Mineral Exploration Trust, which was introduced in 2015. It is 2% of the royalty, and the proceeds from the National Mineral Exploration Trust are used for exploration of minerals in the country at present. And to supplement, there are two types of minerals. One is minor mineral, which are defined in the MMDR Act. The minerals which are not minor mineral, those are the major minerals. So minor mineral regulation is the responsibility of the state government. So the concept of State Mineral Exploration Trust was introduced for the minor minerals so that state governments can put concerted efforts to explore the minor minerals in the state.
Okay. Now, my next question is open to both of you, Shishir and Dineshji. What role have district mineral foundation trusts have played in ensuring local benefits and sustainable development?
So over to you, Shishirji, then I'll speak.
I think the most important thing is that when we are talking about the economic approach, and I'm just going to the concept of NITI. When NITI was formed in 2015, it was said that we are going from what we call as the bottoms-up approach, not the top-down approach. Earlier, what used to happen that if you are making a policy in the central government, irrespective of knowing the ground reality or irrespective of knowing the reality of each and every district or each and every block of the country, there could be a problem in one particular part of the country. But when you are going from the bottoms-up approach, that means you are taking confidence at the district level and knowing the reality of each and every district with the help of these district association, district bodies, then your entire policy implementation will be really effective one. I think that is a big change which has happened, and sir would be able to add more into that.
Thank you, Shishidhi, for some new angles to district mineral foundations. As I mentioned, I'm reiterating again that any development project cannot succeed till the people affected by those development projects are taken care of. So this is a very, very important efforts by the policy makers that District Mineral Foundation was established in 2015. And the contribution to the District Mineral Foundation is 10% of the royalty. So till now, if we see overall, there are 23 mining states in the country and 645 district mineral foundations in the districts. So total collection till now is of the order of 1,07,000 crore rupees. And that fund cannot be used beyond the district, number one. And in the year 2024, the central government issued revised guidelines, which we say Pradhan Mantri Khanit Kalyan Yojana, PMKKKBI, those guidelines, in which specifically it was mentioned that directly affected area is 15 kilometers from the mine boundary and indirectly affected area is 25 kilometers from the mine boundary, and all the funds collected should be spent within the 25 kilometers of the mining boundary. So the people affected by the mining operations should be duly taken care of, whether it is education, whether it is health, whether it is livelihood, and so many things. It's a wonderful initiative taken by the government.
And if I just like to add one thing, when sure. the district level body is giving you the feedback that this money is available and how to spend, the radius has been defined that only within that radius, the money available with that foundation to be used, then the policy makers will have an idea that how to, what we call as the customized policy. I mean, you have made an umbrella policy, but you also have to think about the customization. And that customization is possible with the help of district level body. So I think not just from the financial point of view, but also as an input provided to the umbrella policy, these foundations have a very, very big role.
Dineshi, how significant is the focus on critical minerals for India's national energy and food security?
Because of the importance of the critical minerals in case of economic development, food security. So in the year 2023, 24 minerals were identified as critical mineral and which were included as part of the MMDR Act itself. And because of the importance, the auction for the critical mineral was taken by the central government, and in the year 2024 itself there were 24 critical mineral blocks auctioned, and this year we have already auctioned 10 additional blocks. So if we talk about the use of critical minerals in defense, in electronics there are lots of critical minerals are used, in electric vehicles lots of critical minerals are used. Recently you have seen that crisis of magnets for electric vehicles. So through the National Critical Mineral Mission, which was approved this year in January, there is a focused attention of the government to secure the complete supply chain of the critical minerals, whether it is increasing the domestic production or securing the critical minerals for the country.
My last question is directed to both of you. What is your assessment of the mining sector's contribution to India's vision of becoming a developed nation, Viksit Bharat, by 2047?
So all the minerals, we talk about the iron ore, the steel policies there, every policy, they have two targets, 2030 and 2047 targets. So if you talk about the steel, that steel will come from iron ore. So the mining is involved. If we talk about the lithium or the batteries we talk about, then mining is involved. So mining sector is very, very important to achieve the targets, whether they are the energy transition targets or the Viksit Bharat targets of 2047. So every step, the mining sector is contributing towards both these goals.
Before 2047, we also have to achieve $5 trillion, $7 trillion and $10 trillion. And in achieving these targets, the role of manufacturing is very critical. At this moment, the share of manufacturing in GVA is around 14-15%. We have to increase it. And if we need to give boost to the manufacturing sector, you need good foundation from the mineral sector. And that is why the development of mines and minerals are very important if you have to develop the manufacturing, which will play a major role in achieving first $5 trillion by 2027-28, then $10 trillion by 2033, and then what we call as the Viksit Bharat by 2047. So maybe the share, if you say in GVA, is this much or that much, but important thing is that what kind of support it is providing to the manufacturing sector, which are critical to achieve the developed nation status.
On that positive note, I would like to thank both of you for being with Akashvani and contributing on the topic that we discussed today. Thank you so much.
You were listening to a discussion on reforms in India's mining sector. The participants were Dinesh Mahur, Joint Secretary, Ministry of Mines, and Shishir Sinha, Economic Analyst. Moderator was Rajesh Lekh, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the New Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.